Hallelujah. So for the word of God, I am back home. I am a part of the pastoral team in our church. That's a very good church. My senior pastor used to be my youth leader before I left. So I'm very honored to work with him. He's a great pastor. He's a great man, wise and a true pastor, pastoral heart and good messages. And the pastoral team are wonderful to work with. So I found my place there. I'm working supposedly part-time, but actually part-time becomes many times full-time. But anyway, it's a pleasure to be back home, and that's also a good church there, and we are very happy to be back. And I was blessed to hear about the groundbreaking and the Bagong Bong as a result of our medical missions that we had a few years ago. That is wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning I want to share with you a message to encourage you, because I realize that a lot of people are suffering for many, many reasons. There's so many troubles, personal troubles and international troubles, troubles because of pandemic, troubles because of health conditions, troubles and everything. So as Christians, we can go anywhere in the world, and we have to find in the Church of Jesus the solid foundations, the ground on which we stand, the eternal truth that makes that wherever we go, whether it is and on this trip we have been in small church, we have been in super big church in Singapore, we had our first mega church experience that we never had that before, so that was great. We had a great Easter Sunday there. We've been with students in Cambodia. Next week we will be with the ATAS. But everywhere we go, the truth of the Word of God must be preached. The truth, the foundational truth, must be what unite us, strengthen us, comfort us, and that is why I like the Bible so much. And unfortunately, sometimes we hear of Christians who are kind of and stages, they go in stages. I don't really understand that or why it happens, but some will go through times of doubts. They start to question whether they believed the right things. You know, in our society now, there's so many. What is popular or trendy to believe? There's a new morality in this world. And our Christian faith comes and stand at odd with this. It's like what we see that we believe doesn't fit what the world holds as very popular and things like that. And it shakes a lot of people. And the letters to Hebrews says that in the last days there will be times of shaking. And many Christians are being shaken at the moment. And some of them start to question. And that's why we need to establish strong foundations. And I've been spending a lot of times in Romans 8 in the last few months. And anyway, I want to share some truths about this wonderful chapter. Some very famous preacher says that the book of Romans is the most important book in the New Testament. The chapter 8 is the most important. And verse 1 is the greatest verse to begin with. There is no more condemnations for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is based on, it says, therefore there is no more. The therefore is a conclusion of everything that has been shared beforehand. All of the explanations about sinfulness, all the explanations about justifications through the work of Jesus Christ, it all came first. And then we come to chapter 8, and therefore, this is for sure, there is no more condemnation for us. Jesus loves us, God the Father loves us, and we are on our way to heaven. And the Bible is full of declarations of assurance. When we go through difficult valleys, times of tears, like Pastor Brothers, I'm all confused. Now, Brother XP was going to see Pastor Spurgeon. I was with him just a few weeks ago. Brother XP says, there are people who came here with tears or the discouragement or very big difficulties, and it doesn't always show on our face. When you walk in the room in the morning, we often don't talk about it, and we just show a peaceful outward appearance, and we tell everybody that we are fine, but sometimes we are very disturbed. But the declaration of faith and the Roman 8 are there to make us really strong and refresh us and rekindle the desire to persevere. So Romans 8 starts and ends with very powerful declaration of faith. There is no more condemnation. That's the first one. But it ends up with telling us that I am convinced that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God and Christ Jesus our Lord. These are two very strong statements that is all connected to what Jesus has done for us. But when you look in between these two strong statements, we come at the end of the first sections of Romans 8 and verse 17, and you will read, "For if we suffer with him, we will also be with him in his glory." We will be glorified, in other words, with Christ. And Paul tells us that this is the ultimate intention of God. This is the glory. That's why Jesus came. This is to bring us there, to set us free, to remove all condemnation, so that we will be entering, sharing in the glory of Christ. But the previous part says, if we suffer with him. So that's not something that we like to hear about this, because Paul tells us that the way to glory will be pave with sufferings. It will come through times of sufferings, circumstances that will be hard to go through, but that is a reality. And the biggest problem in history has always been suffering. The biggest questions that people have when they go through times of suffering is, why suffering? Why me? If God is good, why is suffering in this world? And we know that it is often in times of great sufferings that even some Christians will abandon God and their faith. Maybe you are experiencing suffering right now as I speak, and maybe for you who are listening on live today, you are going through very, very difficult time of sufferings. Or maybe in the past you have encountered time of deep suffering. So if God is good, why? Why sufferings? Tension at home, illness, death, rejections, persecutions, misunderstanding. Why is life so hard? And Romans 8 takes a deep look and make us think about our main values. Is it worth to go through times of sufferings? What are our foundations? Are our foundations strong enough to sustain us through times of deep sufferings? And Paul affirms that suffering is part of the life of believers. He says, I consider that the sufferings of the present time. So there's no questions about that. There are sufferings in present times. We go through times of sufferings. We are not immune. And then verse 22 says that we know that the whole creation groans and suffers. Groans and suffers. That is something very, very serious when you groan. I remember the last time I groaned was here in Lighthouse, right here in this room, here the morning that I had my heart attack in a prayer meeting in December, 2018. We were having a pastoral breakfast and a prayer meeting in the morning, and this happens. And I went to the fourth floor, and I was groaning and moaning before they took me to... Rolling on the floor, yes, rolling on the floor. Some of you will remember that. So is there something making you moan this morning for a better time, a time? You know, when you look at the news in the world, you look at what's happening. For us who live in America, we often hear about Haiti. there, this country where gangs have taken over, the police cannot control, there are kidnappings. This is an horrible, it's like hell on earth. There is no hope for a better time over there. And then we heard recently about Turkey and Syria, what happened over there. We had missionaries who went there to distribute clothes and blankets and hygiene items. The persecutions of Christians that is taking place in many countries and a lot in East Southeast Asia here. Yesterday, that's new in the news, but Sudan has been in a big crisis for 20 years now. But now it's started a civil war just yesterday and Sudan again. So you look at everything that happens in the world, and there is a lot of sufferings. There are personal sufferings, there are sufferings outside, sufferings for Christians in many countries. So throughout this passage, Paul gives us several reasons why you and me, in the midst of any sufferings in this world, we might live with hope. Because the message of Romans 8 is a message of hope. Yes, the creation is groaning. Yes, we are groaning. But it is in hope that we look up to the future. And Romans 8 verse 18 has a wonderful text for us this morning. And reason number one that we can live in hope is to look at the superiority of the future glory over the present sufferings. And Paul says, I reckon that our present sufferings cannot even compare with the glory that will be revealed to us. Paul was not ignorant. He was not just not considering the reality of sufferings, because we knew that Paul experienced more sufferings in his life than most of us in this room here. And Paul used a Greek word when he says, I reckon here. That means that it is like to do an inventory. Paul has taken the time to reflect upon the sufferings versus the glory. And, you know, he's been analyzing it. He's been reviewing this. He's been looking at his life. He's been asking questions. He explained his reasoning. This is a word of reasoning. He evaluate after his evaluation. This is what it comes as a conclusion. I conclude that present sufferings are not even worthy to be compared. There is no comparison possible because we don't see it. We don't know what this future glory holds. But it is so great and it is so majestic and it is so real that when you think about all the glory that is ahead of us, any type of sufferings will disappear. Think about someone you don't like. Think about someone who owes you money. Think about, you know, some pain that you have in your body. Think about somebody that treated you unfairly. When you will see Jesus face to face, this will be nothing. It will disappear. It will not even be a matter. Like now, maybe you are very angry. Maybe you are very jealous. Maybe somebody really hurt you and you've been crying and this is real now. But when you will stand before Jesus, this will be like, you will forget it and you will say, why was I so angry, you know, after all, you know. But right now, it is painful. But in comparison to what is happening, it will be nothing. So that's what Paul is talking to us about this morning. Think about it when you will see Jesus. A second reason to hope is that our story will end with the redemption of our body. In Romans 8:23, not only that, we also who have received the Spirit as first fruits or a foretaste of glory, we groan from the bottom of our hearts, waiting for our full adoptions. I'm shortening these scriptures a little bit just to get to the point. The redemption of our bodies, for it is in hope that we are saved. So we have received the Holy Spirit. We have been born again. This is a foretaste. This is a stamp that we belong to God. This is an assurance. We belong to God. And even though we groan right now, we are waiting for a full adoption and the redemption of our body. What do we mean by that? Is that we're already saved, but we have not discovered and taste yet the full meaning, the full inheritance of that glory that is awaiting us in heaven, the full benefits of salvation. So we have not yet discovered that. We have not yet understood even a glimpse of what it will be like. And then it says in verse 24, for it is in hope that we are saved. We have not seen it yet. We have not tasted it yet. It's so big what is going to happen. And that's why it says in verse 24, it is in hope that we are saved. We are waiting for that. We are looking up to this. And it is a great advantage because imagine, Christians and non-Christians alike go through times of sufferings. I prefer to go through sufferings as a Christian than without the hope of that Christ gives us. Imagine how many people, I don't know here in Hong Kong or where you live, but in our place, a lot of young people depends upon psychologists and school counselors. The people are complaining to the government that we don't have any psychologists. Everybody needs a psychologist. Everybody is desperate. Everybody is depressed. Like we have a lot of young people who are strongly medicated back home in schools and everything. So there's a lot of depressions happening and the youth of today's and everything. But as Christians, it is our great advantage that we are something to look up to, that is hopeful, that is alive in our hearts and everything. So number three, Paul emphasized the role of the Holy Spirit and sustaining hope in the present. Verse 26. Moreover, the Holy Spirit also comes to help us who are weak, or help us in our infirmities or in our weaknesses, because we do not know what to ask for in our prayers. And the Holy Spirit, when it says here, he also come to help us, it's also a verb of holding on to. He rush to our rescue and he grabs us. Think about a parent who is having a very little child who's just got to begin to walk, and the child is going to fall, and you see the mother rushing out and try to grab that baby to prevent an accident to happening or something like that. So that's the picture of the Holy Spirit that is so near to us, that is so attentive. You know, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we forget that we all believe it, we all see it, but in reality we forget it very much because he is there, he is with us, he lives in us, and he brings the truth of Christ in our lives. He is the third person of the Trinity, and he does its work. He is there for a reason in our lives. It says he comes, he rushes to come to help us, to grab us, to rescue us. He is clinging to us every moment of our weakness. And to me, when I see this verse, it shows me the proximity of God, the interest that God has in your life and in my life. You know, sometimes when we go through sufferings, we feel that God is so far. We wonder if God cares or something like that. Many people go through phases like this. But the Holy Spirit here shows us the proximity of God. He is always with us, within us, near to us, ready to act, always willing, always rushing out to rescue us. So to me, it's a big encouragement to read that. I just discovered this aspect of the Holy Spirit not too long ago. The proximity of God, his attention and his desire to help us, just like parents toward their child. So when you go through a crisis, you can rest reassured because the Holy Spirit is within us. He will come to pour out the love of the Father. He will remind you of the love of the Father. He will bring you back to your faith. He will strengthen you through trials, and he will bring hope back into your life. Of course, you will suffer the pain, Maybe you will shed tears. You will feel the hardness of the sufferings, but the Holy Spirit will eventually work through that pain and restore this hope that you have. That's his work, and he does it very well. He does it perfectly. Number four, through all things, God works for the good of his beloved. And verse 28. This is a great verse here that is often misquoted and misused, unfortunately, but still we love that verse so very much. God works in everything. You know, this verse actually is, we know that all things work together. It doesn't say that God works all things together, but we often have Bible translation that translate it in this way. But we can take it on both ways, because eventually God is working through the all things. But the all things does its work and lead us somewhere. Obviously, we will realize that those who love God, we will see something good. We will recognize God and to the circumstances of our life. And this is a difficult point, and that I will share with you for people to accept. You know, I'm sorry if I speak, my English is kind of falling apart. For the last 3 years, I've been speaking in French, so not so much in English, so I might just say anything. So anyway, God works in everything. There's something in that verse that we have to learn. That God does not work. That is the first goal of God. His first objective of God is not to make you happy. That's not the goal of God. Because sometimes we like to enjoy the blessed life, you know. God is good all the time. God is good, like, because God is so faithful. I'm always blessed. Everything is fine. My life, I have no problem. God is good. You know, but that's not what this verse is telling us. You know, not all, everything that happens to us is good, and God does not work to make us happy, but God works in our circumstances to accomplish his purpose. That's what the verse says. This is more important for us to know, because if you only dwell on the superficial or what appear in this verse, and what many people are sharing about this verse, you will miss a very important point, that even through hardships, even through difficult things, even through sufferings and pains, the Lord is active. He will work in these circumstances, but not to make you happy or make you rich or make you more blessed or to increase you in this and that. But God will certainly bless you, because he's a generous God. But the ultimate goal of Jesus is not that. This will come as you walk with the Lord, there will be blessing coming to you. But the ultimate goal is to make you like his son, to make you conform to the likeness of the image of his son. That is the goal of God. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why the Holy Spirit works in our life. And that's how we should interpret this verse, review this verse in the light of this. He also decided in advance to make them conform to the image of his son. He predestined, if you want to keep that word, but I prefer decided, and he planned it in advance. That is the ultimate goal of God. And to those he justified, he glorified. There's all a list of things that God has done. He saved us, he loves us, he chose us, and he justifies us, and he will eventually glorify. It's like, and the mind of God, we've already been glorified, even though we are not there yet. And his mind is part of his plan. Follow him, and you will eventually get there, because he's already done that. You see, the verb is in the past. He already glorified. His plan is already to do it for you. So that's how we need to reread this verse a little bit. That, you know, for me, it's always been important, because as a pastor and as a missionary, I've always been very aware of my conduct, of my behavior, of being an ambassador of Christ, a representative of Jesus Christ, of the reputations that I will leave behind me, of whatever I sow in my life. I've always been aware of that and careful about this everywhere I've been in this world. So that's why I like this verse, because it reminds me that the plan of God is to make me conform to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. And also, God has a plan, because in that, the purpose of God is the plan. He created you. I was with the young people in Cambodia. They live in a dormitory. These are poor students that comes from the rural areas. And then the Pastor Soka and many other churches have dormitories in Phnom Penh to help these to go through high school and universities. And many of them, very young and their age, have left their home and they came to study in town. So I had an evening with them this week, and I was really puzzled, because at one point I wanted to encourage them. I was talking with them, questions and things like this. We were talking, shared testimonies. And then I was asking some of them, what is it that you think God has as a plan? What is your dream in your life? And I was thinking that they will answer, like, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be an engineer, or so, whatever it is. And the first one, very shy, she stood and she looked so little and young. And she says, I wish I would go back to be a child. And at first I could not understand, but the more she explained, the more I understood, because she suffered to be separated from her parents. And when she was young, she was happy. And then she left for the city. She became an adult. And now it's very hard. She says it's very, very hard. And even if I have Jesus, like she felt the lack of love or the separations. And she wished that she would go back to the time when she was happy. And I heard similar testimonies that night, and I was really deeply, deeply impacted by them. But then I was telling them, you need to discover the fatherhood of God, that God is with you here, and discover more of his love. God has a plan. And then I just want to close that part here and saying, you know, I want to tell you how much God loves you. Do you want me to give you a proof that God loves you? I says, you exist. That's already the proof that you. If God would not have loved you and his eternal mind, you would not have been created. Because God creates for a purpose. He creates with something in view. It doesn't just happen like a luck or whatever. When he creates you with a deep plan, a goal that God is going to love you, is going to guide you, is going to save you, is going to do his plan into your life. And then I said, do you want another proof that God loves you? I says, look, you were coming out of a Buddhist family, and you did not know Jesus. And look, today, you know Jesus. You belong to Jesus. Even while you were not Christians, even if you didn't come from a Christian background, Jesus loved you so much that he reached out to you and he saved you. And today you belong to Jesus, and Jesus will guide you and lead you, and he will lead you somewhere good for your life and his plan and everything. So a little bit in closing that section, he decided in advance to make them conform to the likeness of his son. And as he does that into your life and in mine, even though when we get the gray hair, God has not finished to work in our lives. God has so many good things. Remember before we left the lighthouse, Bridget was telling me, I think it's better we go back to Canada not too old and weak and frail, so that we can go back to Canada in a time where we still have a good health and we can renew or start afresh, like a ministry, whatever God has a plan, the new life that God had for us. And that's exactly what is happening, and we are enjoying. God has never finished to transform us and make us like Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is really wonderful. And I should stop very soon. And God is on the side of believers. And that is, I think, the most powerful part of Romans 8:31. Paul continue to dig deeper in this subject. And now he's going to use another approach, the approach of to bring us to reasons, to ask by asking questions. And each question reveals the theology of Paul. He asks questions in order to make you go deeper into your foundations of faith. Why you believe what you believe? How do you understand the concept of God in your life? Where lays your foundation of faith? And he's going to ask you questions to make you answer these questions, to strengthen your faith. And then he starts in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he will go on to explain what he means by this. And to me, I think the supreme argument of Romans 8 is verse 32. That is, if we get verse 32, we get the everything, what is about in this chapter. God, who spared not his own son, he loves you so much, and he loves me so much, that he spared not his own son, but he gave him up for us all. Now, if that is so, who can be against us? If God has already done that, how will he not also give us all things graciously or freely with him? That's the ultimate questions to answer. So if God has already proven to us, shown us so clearly, look what I have done for you, I'm not going to abandon you. Again, we always go back to the parenting pictures. When parents, they have their children, if they are normal in their mind, of course, they are never going to abandon their children. They are never going to stop loving them. They will always, always do something. If they get in trouble, they will help them get out of trouble. If they need money, they will give them money. If they need anything, they will all do everything you can. Even though your children can bring a lot of trouble, you will always do something. So here you have God that is describing himself here. If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, we answer all of the other questions. If you look at all these questions, who will be against us? Who will accuse God's elect? Who will condemn them? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? All of these questions are answered in verse 32. Will he not also give us all things graciously? Will he not take care of you? Will he not answer your prayers? Will he not know what you're going through? Will he not lead you and guide you and the right way to make the right decisions in your life? Open the right door when it is time? Is he not going to exalt you in due time? Is he not going to do good to you? If if earthly fathers know how to give good things to their children, will not how much more your Heavenly Father will give you again the Holy Spirit and good things to you. So that is to answer that as sections. So there is no condemnation because Christ died for us. And this text finished, this section finished with verse 37. And then it starts with a nay. Like there's a bunch of other things that being said. It says, yeah, nay, nah. See, like when you finish like to list a bunch of things, oh, come on, you know, it's like a logical conclusion. Nay, even in despite of all of these things, we are more than conquerors, even though, and these things are all parts of sufferings, things that makes you suffer, things that makes you groan, things that are difficult to get you through something, anything that is bothering you in your life, and that is making you question about your life or whatever. No, don't think about this. You are more than conquerors. You will conquer eventually everything. Just hold on to God. And then verse 38, the grand finale, the greatest declarations of assurance and hope. That is one of the most beloved verse of the whole Bible, I think, verse 38. I am certain, you know, I'm convinced, I know for sure there's no more questions in my mind about this, that nothing. Of course, he listed a lot of things. I summarize it with a nothing, but nothing spiritual, nothing materials, nothing, no persecutions, no famine, not running out of money, whatever happens, physical, material, spiritual, nothing. No evil spirits, no attack from the enemy, no nothing. Include anything that is meant to make you suffer, that is coming into your life as pain, anything of any nature. And he says that, for indeed I am certain that nothing of all of these things can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. No doubt, I have the assurance, I am fully convinced, despite everything that we encounter in this world that attacks us, comes against us, spiritual, physical, emotional, relational, we can overcome everything by the power of the Holy Spirit who empowers us and gives us strength. You know, for Paul, the assurance of the love of God remains the foundation of everything, the foundations of our hope. You go through tough times, you question the love of God for you, Paul answers here, the assurance of the love of God for you will keep you going, will re-energize you, will restore your hope, will help you to make a step in front of the other. There is nothing that will be able to stop you if you keep that assurance of the love of God in your heart. You will be able to swim across oceans, climb mountains, do whatever comes your way. God gave Jesus for us. So will he not give us everything that we need, all of his help, everything that we need in our lives? So our inheritance, our future, the glory that is awaiting us, everything in our life is linked to Jesus Christ. Everything that will work for your good, everything that will lead you to glory, every blessing of God is all linked to Jesus Christ. See, this is in Jesus that we have everything. Father God, I want to thank you this morning for reminding us through the word of your servant Paul, Lord, that the assurance of the love of God the Father remains our sure foundations of hope, Lord, that we don't have to despair, that we don't have to fear, that we will not abandon anything, O Lord God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you are so good to save us. Lord, you have given your life. You shed your blood. You came to remove all condemnations, to open a new life and a new way, Lord. And then this life and then this way, there will be sufferings. And Lord, I want to pray for those who are going through tough times right now. Hallelujah. Is there someone in this room this morning, you are going through a tough time, and would you raise your hands so that I will know that I can pray for you this morning. You're going through a tough time. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. It's important that as we come to church, Pastor Jennifer said this, you came to the right place. This is here that you can open up your pain. You can open up your sufferings. This is the right place. You come broken. You come here. You come rejected outside. You will be accepted inside. You come with a problem that you are out of your resources. You don't know how to go, where to turn, where to find help. You came to the right place here. And the answer to your questions, the answer to your pain, the answer to your suffering this morning is found in the love of God. Because the love of God will manifest himself under many, many ways. And it will come to you and to different aspects to you. If it is through healing, it will come through healing. If it is through the help in your times of weakness, the Holy Spirit will provide this. If you are questioning and your hope is gone this morning, he will come to rescue you in this. Father God, I pray for all those who raised their hands this morning, Lord, they have questions on their minds. They are going through difficult times. Their heart is heavy. They have maybe anxious about something, insecure about others, or disappointed about something. They have been hurt by something. Lord God, they may be sick or going through a time of disease at the time, Lord. God, I pray that you perform a divine miracle right here, right now, for each one of them this morning, that each one that raised their hands and all of us here in this room, we will leave this room with being, like Paul says, I am convinced, I know for sure, I will never doubt that in my life, that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. My God loves me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother